welcome to the Gap Church Podcast, where we are filling the gap with freedom found in the Spirit of God and truth found in the Word of God. Please enjoy this week's message.
Well, welcome everyone. Welcome everybody. This is the Gap Church, where we are filling the gap with freedom found in the Spirit of God and truth found in the Word of God. My name is Charles, and I have a privilege of being one of the ministers here. And we just want to say thank you for joining us. And we're in a sermon series called, who knows the name? Cool. So you guys have been locked in. I love that. We're in a sermon series called The Spirit of God. And this past Sunday, Pastor Dara gave us the wonderful opportunity to understand why we need the Spirit of God. Why we need the Spirit of God. He gave us five things. We need it because our identity needs it. We need the Spirit of God because we allows us to please God. The Spirit of God allows us to please God. The third reason why we need the Spirit of God is because it allows us to expand the gospel. The fourth reason why we need the Spirit of God, for those who missed it, it allows us to have power. Fifth reason why we need the Spirit of God is because it allows us to experience transformation. Amen. And while we're still at it, I just want to give a shout out to Pastor Dara, the ministers, and everybody. Can we just give them a round of applause real quick? Just for giving me the opportunity just to be here to speak to everyone. And then I also just want to give a shout out to all the volunteers as well who sacrificed and put in all the hard work just to make the service what it is. And we're just going to go into it, right? So Pastor Dara gave us these five things of why we need the Spirit of God. And they pretty much tell us what the Spirit of God can do. But today we're really going to examine who the Spirit of God actually is. Who the Spirit of God actually is. This past Monday, I had the opportunity to conduct some interviews for potential interns that were coming onto our team. And you know, like they do, they give you resumes. You look at the resume and we see nice GPAs. We see extracurricular activities. Oh, you did this internship. I served at this Boys and Girls Club, X, Y, and Z. Pretty much telling you why they need you to be on their team. And they're cool, they're great. And I said, okay, I see you. You're nice. But I said, I need to see a face to this resume. Who are you? Who are you? I see all these accomplishments. I see what you can do for us potentially, right? But who are you? So I go on LinkedIn just so I can put a face to the resume. Just so that I can put a face to the resume. And for a lot of us, a lot of times now in 2026, when you get introduced to somebody briefly, what do you do? It's like, hey, yo, can I see your Instagram page? Or you see a spot on the street that there's this Korean spot that I've been seeing. It looks really good. Let's Yelp it real quick. Let's see the stars rating, right? Or let's go on TikTok. Let's see if there's any reviews on it. Let's see if it's really as appealing as it seems from the outside. And with a lot of things, I want us to have that same understanding with this. Okay, so Pastor Dara has given us these five things of why we need the Spirit of God, but we must examine who is the Spirit of God? Because if we don't actually know the identity of the Spirit of God, why do we care? Why do we actually care? So the title of this message today is Show Me the Profile. Show me the profile. Who is the Spirit of God? Show me the profile. Who is the Spirit of God? And I want you just to tap your neighbor and ask them, what does your profile look like? What does your profile look like? Does your profile actually represent you well? Or do we need to be on your close friends to really know the real you? So we're going to get right into who is the Spirit of God. And before we can talk about who is the Spirit of God, we must lay a basic foundation of the Trinity. It is impossible for us to talk about the Spirit of God without laying a solid basis on the Trinity. And for a lot of us who may be skeptics on the Trinity, the absence of a word in the Bible does not mean that the concept or the idea behind it is not actually there. We would all agree that God is omnipotent, right? We would all agree that God is omniscient, meaning that he's all-knowing. We would all agree that God is omnipresent, meaning that he's everywhere. These three words are nowhere to be found in the Bible. But the concept, the idea of it is found in the scripture. When we look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image. That us typifies or signals that there is one than more person that is speaking at this point. We have other verses in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, that talks about, behold, the man has become like one of us. the famous passage in Isaiah chapter 6 when Isaiah has his encounter with the Lord, the woe is me moment. God says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? So we see that in the Bible, there is a concept, there is an idea that there is more than one person in the Bible when it comes to God. But then we also have to layer it down. But the Bible also tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So God is one, but he's also three. How does that work? How does that work? But then we see it all come together in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. This is where it goes from a concept to an actually reality in the Bible. We see that in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. It says, and when Jesus was baptized, he immediately went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, who I am well pleased with. Amen. And we see in the New Testament that now we see that this idea, this concept that's been brooding in the Old Testament now comes to reality, where we see the Father, we see the Son coming down. No, we see the Father, we see the Spirit coming like a dove, and we see the Son being baptized all in one passage, all at the same time. So now this now begins to eliminate the thought process that, oh, God just changes forms. He's the Father 1 second, then he transcends to the Son, and he changes to the Spirit. And one moment he's the Spirit, and then one moment he's the Son. No. In this passage, we see that they're all there all at one time. Unless he's just that fast that you actually can't see him go and switch in places all at once, right? And that is why I just wanted to lay this a simple foundation of the Trinity, because it's so important to understand when speaking about the Spirit of God. And I just want us to give a simple definition on who is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the third person in the Trinity who has eternally existed, meaning that he has existed since before time began with the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, the Spirit of God is the third person in the Trinity who has existed forever, who has existed before time began, with God the Father and with God the Son. And we're just going to get into simple misconceptions about the Spirit of God, certain things that people get wrong. So I'm going to expose myself real quick. Are you ready? Yeah. So why you said that so? Okay, so do we have any Star Wars fans here? Am I the only strange one here? So, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I didn't really like Star Wars. Great guy. But I'm a Star Wars fan, and there's this concept in the Star Wars, they call the Force. May the Force be with you. May the Force be with you. And as we're seeing that, this Force, there's the popular protagonist in the show, or who becomes an antagonist later in the movie, Anakin Skywalker. They said that he is conceived by the Force. He actually doesn't have a father. The Force came into his mother, and he came. And it's almost like, you know, a lot of times, especially when you listen to a lot of movies or you read a lot of stories, we see that they try to replicate the Bible in terms of, like, the stories that happened with Jesus and the birth and X, Y, and Z. But I say that all to say the Spirit of God is not a force. It's not a thing. See, when you look at stars, they always talk about the Force doesn't speak. The Force doesn't have a consciousness. The Force isn't aware. The Force isn't able to be able to guide them or to direct them. They just say, may the Force be with you. And that's pretty much it. But we see with the Spirit of God is actually a person. It's actually a person. What does it mean to be a person? A person is a person with the ability to be self-aware. A person is a person with the ability to reason, to think out loud. A person is a person who has the ability to create intentional relationships. These are the three things. These are the three keys that allow us to say, okay, you're a person. You're a person. And I really just want to give us some scriptures, some examples to show that the Spirit of God actually is a person. And I'm just going to use one simple verse. This is Acts chapter 10, verses 19. Acts chapter 10, verses 19. And we see that in this chapter, the Spirit of God tells Peter, and we'll say, and that while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. We see that the Spirit of God sends three men to go find Peter. Why? Because the Spirit of God had an appointment. He had a divine visitation that he wanted to have with the house of Cornelius and his household. And in that, he sends Peter to Cornelius so that Cornelius can preach the gospel to him. And it says in that passage that before Peter could even finish uttering a word, the Spirit of God visited them. And I use this passage as an example just to show you that, one, the Spirit of God is actually sensitive and is actually aware of actually what is going on. To be able to send three men and then to be able to tell Peter, hey, I have three people who are going to be at the door. I need you to look out for them. Not only look out for them, I need you to accompany them. Not only that, we see that in this same story, the Spirit of God has the ability to create an intentional relationship. He did all of this just so he can simply meet and actually encounter Cornelius and the rest of his household. Just so that he can actually meet Cornelius and the rest of his household. And it should really give us an understanding that when we talk about the Spirit of God, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, this isn't just a figment of our imagination. This isn't just something that sounds good, but this is something that we can actually relate with. This is a person that we can actually speak with, that we can actually walk with, that we can actually talk to. The book of Acts of the Apostles should really be titled Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because when we actually study the book of Acts carefully, we see that the Spirit is telling this person this, and the Spirit is telling this person that. We see that in Acts chapter 8, shout out to the system of Philip, if you know, you know. We see that he's telling Philip the evangelist, hey, that Ethiopian eunuch, I need you to go over there and just be in his chariot. And the moment he goes there, he sees this guy in his chariot reading this passage. He was like, yo, do you need some understanding? You want me to help you out? And he helps him out. And before he knows it, Philip is gone. Philip is gone. We see so many passages in the Bible, so many passages in the book of Acts where the Spirit is telling men how to go and handle business. We're seeing, especially in this Acts chapter 8, that the Spirit of God knew that there was a eunuch there. He knew his surroundings. And he was like, yo, I need you to go and handle business for me over there. And Philip didn't even bat an eye. He was like, I got you. So the Spirit of God is a person that we can relate with. The Spirit of God is somebody who is self-aware. The Spirit of God is somebody that has the ability to reason and to think logically. The second misconception that I want to eliminate for us is that the Spirit of God is the universe. It's not the universe. The third misconception that I wanted us to dead right now today is the Spirit of God is not always loud and spectacular. The Spirit of God is not always loud and spectacular. A lot of times because we've been introduced to the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 2 where we see he came like a mighty rushing wind and he sees tongues of fire. We think that the Spirit of God is always loud. But we come to realize when we study Scripture that the Spirit of God actually wants to announce himself in private before he announces himself publicly. He wants to announce himself in the private before he announces himself publicly. You know, there's a minister that once said, you know, you don't get pregnant in public, you get pregnant in private. You don't get pregnant in public, you get pregnant in private. And he said this all to say, if you want to be somebody that gets filled with destiny, if you want God to be able to trust you with burdens and to trust you with things, you must be able to meet with him in private, not publicly. You must be able to meet with him privately, not publicly. So, and the fourth thing that I want to clear myself of a misconception is that the Spirit of God is lesser than the Father or the Son. He is fully God. We see that in Acts chapter 5, that Ananias thought that, and this is what Peter says. He says, you thought you could lie to the Spirit of God, to the Holy Spirit, but you weren't actually lying to man. You weren't lying to me. You were lying to God this whole time. And I use this verse as a reason just to show us that the Spirit of God is equal to the Father. He's equal to the Son. They share the same divinity. They say the same character. They share the same authority. They share the same ability. The same ability. And just to summarize this on who the Spirit of God is, the Spirit of God is three things. The Spirit of God is the third person in the Trinity. The Spirit of God is co-equal to God the Father and God the Son. And third but not last, the Spirit of God is equal to God the Father and God the Son. They have the same ability. When you say, oh, love me, Jesus, the Holy Spirit says, I got love for you too. You're asking the Father for mercy and the Holy Spirit says, I have mercy, it's right here. They all share the same abilities. And I wanted just to give us a ground foundation of who the Spirit of God is, because that's what you need to actually build a profile, right? Usually when you go on LinkedIn, what do you see at first? You see the about me. You see the about me. And we're going to build three more sections. We're going to have the job section. We're going to have the role section. And we're going to have the activity or the work, what you actually do. And the job just pretty much allows us to know your purpose. Why do you work at this company usually, most times? And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I want us to understand the job of the Holy Spirit within the Trinity, because it's very important for us to know. So I want us to turn our Bibles real quick to John chapter 16, John chapter 16, verses 14 to 15. John chapter 16, verses 14 to 15. And I read, it says, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you, all that the Father has is mine. And therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Jesus is speaking to his disciples as he's about to get prepared to go up on the cross. And he's telling them how the Spirit will come. And when he comes, he will glorify me. The main job, the only job of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. It's to glorify Jesus. Do any of us have people who always says the Holy Spirit told them this? Or the God told them this, or the Spirit of God told them this. And if you were to examine it, you know they're capped, because how does that thing go actually glorify Jesus? Or did you just use it as a trump card or as a form of a manipulation type because you didn't want to hear what I had to tell you? So you snap it and say, "Oh, God told me this, so leave me alone." But we must have an understanding that the Spirit of God is only interested in glorifying Jesus. He's only interested in glorifying the Son. And in this passage, it shows us that if the Son is glorified, the Father will be glorified. That is the only thing he has interest in. And this is almost the same thing with like Jesus. When Jesus in John chapter 5, he talks about, "I only care about doing the will of my Father who sent me." They're only in the business of doing what they are called to do. And another way we can dictate or we can discern for ourselves when the Spirit of God is actually speaking to us or telling us a thing is this small little character or principle that we see is that the Spirit of God is selfless and pure in motive. The Spirit of God is selfless and pure in motive. So if you actually feel like the Spirit of God is telling you something, begin to use the scriptures and say, "How is this selfless? How is this actually pure in motive? And how does this actually glorify Jesus?" When you apply these three principles, you will always know when the Spirit of God is telling you something and when it's just something else telling you something. And with this foundation of us being able to understand for ourselves what the Spirit of God is doing, what his main job is, his why, and why he goes about doing everything that he does, it allows us to now explore his role, how he functions, his position. And there's four positions that the Spirit of God has. And we're going to go through them real quickly. The first one is the Spirit of God is a helper, the helper. We see that in John chapter 14, verses 16, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." The Spirit of God is a helper. We see that Jesus knows that he's leaving, and he knows that if I don't leave, then the Spirit won't come to actually help you in your daily walk, in your daily life. So I have to leave so that you can actually get the help that you need to live this life. We see that in John chapter 14, verses 26, it says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." All that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the second role is he is the teacher. Not a teacher, the teacher. The teacher. And I'm going somewhere with why I say not a, but the teacher. The third one is he is the witness. The witness. We see that in John chapter 15, verses 26. He says, "But when the helper comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." When we go out and we go out to evangelize, we go out to expand the gospel, it is the Spirit of God that actually bears witness of who Jesus is to people when we communicate a thing to people, not us. The fourth thing is he is the guide. John chapter 16, verse 13 talks about when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will guide you from all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare these things to you for the things that are to come. Amen? And when we look at these four things, the helper, the teacher, the witness, the guide, what does this scream to us? When you sum it all up, who do you think the Spirit of God really is in this role, this function that he's supposed to serve? You say it a little louder. The truth? That's a good answer. I don't mind that answer. When we look at that, we see that the Spirit of God is a discipleship maker. He's a discipleship maker. He is a mentor. And the reason why I wrote this is because a lot of times when it comes to us talking about the Spirit of God, we present the Spirit of God as this, as that. But a lot of times we don't speak about the Spirit of God as an actual mentor, as an actual discipler. And this does not take away the responsibility of the church to actually provide people discipleship. This does not also take the responsibility away from you to disciple others, because that is a mandate from Jesus. But I want us to have an understanding for ourselves that our primary source of discipleship actually comes from the Spirit of God. It actually comes from the Spirit of God. We see that in Galatians chapter 1, that it talks about how Paul says that he went to Arabia for 3 years after he has the encounter with the Lord. Why? Because he was spending time with the Lord and he was being discipled. He was being mentored. And how many of us, we cry out to God for a mentor, we cry out to God for discipleship, and God is like, but I'm your first source of discipleship. I'm your first source of mentor. How come you're not coming to me about this first? And it's almost like the children of Israel in 1 Samuel, where we see that they're crying out to God for a king, but failing to realize that God was their one true king. And why this is an issue is because when we cry for mentorship, when we cry for discipleship, and yet we fail to see God as that true source, we end up idolizing a man, we end up idolizing a woman, and we end up downgrading God's actual role in our lives. It's very important for us that we go to the Holy Spirit first. We go to the Spirit of God to direct and guide our lives. Because I assure you, if you go to God and say, okay, Spirit of God, I know you're my mentor. I know you're my discipler. And you go to him faithfully. Hello, man, we talked about devotion last week, right, guys? And you go every single week and you go every single day. I assure you, he will send you to the right man of God to lead your life. He will send you to the right church that will actually build you up and motivate you and build you up brick by brick. If you actually go to him first to actually guide you, to actually lead you. But how can you do that if you don't actually realize or actually see him as your discipler, as your mentor? And this also goes to ask a question, how authentic are you in the presence of God when you actually spend time with the Lord? How authentic are you when you actually present yourself in the presence of the Lord? Because if you were to actually remove the mask and you were to actually tell him these things honestly and sincerely, I assure you certain things in your life will look a little bit different. Just a little bit different. And I continue on. We see that the Spirit of God is this mentor. He's this discipler. And because he's discipler and he's this mentor, we see that he has the ability to do these works, these activities that allow him to fulfill this role as a discipler, as a mentor. And the first thing is that he indwells in believers. He dwells in believers. Do you know why you should actually consider the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, as your actual mentor? Because I assure you, no man has the ability to bring you from death to life. No man of God, no woman of God actually has the ability to bring you from death to life. But he does, and he can, because he talks about in Galatians chapter 1 that if we actually put our faith in him, his Spirit has been in our hearts so that we have the ability to cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. The second activity of the Spirit of God is the ability to convict believers and to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And this is such a huge one because we live in the West American church where a lot of churches don't actually like to talk about sin. A lot of churches don't actually like to talk about sin. I was on TikTok a few days ago randomly because I'm never on TikTok actually, but I said, okay, I like this video, right? And I saw this video, and he was talking about how, yeah, in this church, we don't talk about sin. We just focus on loving Jesus. And it sounds good, right? It sounds good, but it denies what Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 8, when he says, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. So it might sound cute to say that, oh, in our church, we don't actually talk about sin. We just worry about loving Jesus. But when Jesus himself says that, when I send my Spirit, he will convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment, something isn't adding up. And we should begin to question if that pastor, if that house, if that woman of God is a place that we should actually be receiving food from. Because it seems like they don't actually honor the scriptures. The third thing is the Spirit of God is sanctifies, he purifies, he refines. And because the Spirit of God sanctifies and refines and purifies, this is what allows us now to bear fruit. The fruits of the Spirit that we talk about in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, it comes when we allow the Spirit of God to sanctify us, to refine us. But the Spirit of God isn't going to do this unless we come to him and we allow him to work in us. We allow him to wash us clean. We allow him to actually tell us about ourselves, accept it, and be like, okay, I'm actually going to do the work and change it. The fourth thing that the Spirit of God likes to do is he's empowering believers with spiritual gifts. Empowering believers with spiritual gifts. This is another activity, another work that allows the Spirit of God to fulfill that role as a mentor, as a discipler. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 7, it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And I'm going to say that last part, for the common good. You know, if you read this verse and you actually understand it, it means that every single person in this room actually has the ability to manifest every single gift of the Spirit, right? Because the Spirit of God is not actually worried about anything other than, when I give you this ability, is this actually going to help the common good? So that means you can actually heal that sister if it's actually for the common good of everybody and their well-being. That means you can actually prophesy when it changed somebody's life and you're not manipulating them, but you're actually trying to tell them something for their common good. This is what the Spirit of God can do. And as we're presenting all of these, we've presented the job, the why behind what he does, which is he's there to glorify Jesus. We've established his role. His role is to be the teacher. His role is to be the guide. His role is to be the witness. And we understand that when we put all this together, he's a discipler. He mentors. And we see his works. At the end of a profile, what's the most important thing that we care about when we look at a profile? Bro, show me the picture. Yeah, that's so it's 2026. Show me your picture. What does he look like? When your homegirl comes, 2026, my bad. When your homegirl, your homeboy tells you about somebody they're trying to put you on, what do you look at first? Send me a picture. Let me see what they look like. Okay, you said he's 6'3". Let me see if he's really 6'3", or if he's like, you say he works out. Does he really have broad shoulders or, you know? And I want to show us a picture of the Spirit of God. And these are just representations, symbols of how the Spirit of God manifests himself. So we understand for ourselves, especially, well, I could go back to the profile analogy, right? Every season you might change your profile picture. So one season you may have had a low cut. This season you have a mohawk. I don't know if mohawks are still in style, but okay, mohawk. One season you have the Toni Braxton low cut as a lady, right? And then, oh no, okay. Okay, never mind, sorry. I respect myself, sorry. And another season, you might have the long 33 bundle, bust down, you know. And you put it on your profile picture because you want the fellas to know that, yeah, it's good over here. And when we look at these symbols, we have six symbols. We have the water, we have the fire, we have the wind, we have the oil that represents the anointing of the Lord. We have the dove. And the dove is just an affirmation that God is pleased with you. We see that in Matthew chapter 3, that it was only when the Father said, I am well pleased, that the dove came upon the Lord. We see the seal. And what does the seal mean? When we put our faith in Christ and our names are written in the book of life, the Holy Spirit comes and he seals it. It's finished. Every sixth thing here, every picture that we have is a representation of what the Spirit of God represents himself as depending on the season that you are in. So in one season, he might be the water, which means cleansing. And one season, he might be the fire, which means purifying and empowerment. And one season, he might be the wind. That means life, the Zoe life, the abundant life, right? And one season, he might be the oil, the anointing, which signifies separation. A lot of times people say they have oil, but they're not separated. No, you can't say that you're anointed, but you're still living like the common people. It's so important that we understand this visual visualizations of how the Spirit of God can manifest and reveal himself to us in a time, in a season. But I have a question for you. Because for a lot of us, right, you know, whether I'm going to use an interviewer analogy, right, you ask all the questions. So you ask, okay, who are you? Okay, what is your job experience? What is your role experience? What is, you know, what have you accomplished? What are your activities in your job? You answer all these questions, and then at the end of the interview, they give you the ability to ask a question back. And I believe the question that the Lord wants to ask everybody today is this simple question. Are you tired of the ordinary? Are you tired of the ordinary? You know, we're using this sermon to talk about who is the Spirit of God. And I believe it is because God wants us to be able to actually see the Spirit of God for who he actually is. Because how can you depend on something that you don't really know about? Like we like to say, I don't know from a can of paint. But God is saying, I want to be able to show myself to every single person so that I can ask him this question. If I was to show and present myself to you in terms of who I fully am, would you be willing to let go of that dry life for a new abundant life? There's a song that I even got this question from, which is deeper still. And it talks about, I'm tired of the ordinary. I'm tired of doing the same things. I'm tired of struggle Christianity. There's something deeper. There's something better. There's something sweeter. But the real question is, will we give the Spirit of God a chance to show himself to us? To reveal himself to us? Will we allow him to work in our hearts? Will we allow him to work in our minds? Will we allow him to work in our situations? So, like I said, are you tired of the ordinary when there's deeper to go? You know, we're in this series called, you know, the Spirit of God, and the theme for this year is the takeover. The theme of this year is the takeover. And if we remember our theme last year, it was another measure. When we look at another measure in Ezekiel chapter 47, we see that there is a temple. We see that there is the water. And when we break it down systematically in theology, we see that that temple represents our hearts, and that water represents the flow of the Spirit. The flow of the Spirit. And I really believe that we're in this theme of another measure, or the takeover for this year, because I believe that for some of us, yes, we are actually in the water. Yes, we are ankle deep. Yes, we are knee deep. We might actually even be able to float. But how we let ourselves go to the point where we are carried by the current of the Spirit, where we are carried by the water. Because we understand for ourselves that with a river, there's a current. There's a current. And it keeps on going, and it keeps on flowing, and it keeps on pushing forward. And yes, you may actually know how to swim, but I think God is asking us, aren't you tired of just swimming? Would you just let me carry you? You're not tired of, you know, we know we're supposed to pray and have devotion time, but you're not willing to allow me to help you in that secret place time? This is just the practicalities of it, guys. Like, in terms of, are we willing to allow God to carry us? Are we willing to allow God to help us? Yes, he gave you the dream. Yes, he gave you the vision. But are you willing to allow him to carry you through it? Or are you just satisfied with the ordinary? The question of today is, are you tired of the ordinary? There is deeper. There's deeper to go in the Spirit of God. There is deeper to go in the things of the Lord. There is deeper to go in the Word of God. But the real question for yourself, are you going to rid yourself of everything that holds you back? Or are you just going to try to keep swimming and struggle just to make it to the end? And I really just want to relate this last verse. It is John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. It says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit of God had not been yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. I just have a simple question again for everyone who is here, and even for those who are watching online, is this. Are you tired of actually doing the ordinary? And this is both for both believers and maybe even unbelievers as well. Are you actually tired of doing the ordinary thing? Are you tired of actually struggling with your walk with God? Do you want some speed with your walk of God? Are you actually willing to allow the God to give you something that is better in terms of how you go about your day-to-day, how you go about your job, your career? Because like we talked about last week, we need the Spirit of God for power. And this power isn't for necessarily the platform, but it's necessary for how we go about living our lives day-to-day. We need power so that we can simply just honor our parents. We need power just so we can simply actually talk to our coworkers that we really don't like. We need power just so that we can witness to that friend that we are crying to the Lord about every single day. But the question is, are you going to allow the Spirit of God to carry you? Are you going to allow the Spirit of God to help you? And I really just want us to pray this prayer real quick as we're about to close. And it's simply this: Lord, will you show me something better? Will you show me something better? Will you show me something better moving forward? As we're entering into this series of the Spirit of God, Lord, will you show me something deeper, something new, or something better than I've ever experienced before when it comes to your Spirit? Lord, I am tired of the ordinary when there is deeper, there is better to go with you. I am tired of the same struggle relationship that I've had with you, oh God. I want a more meaningful, I want a more intimate relationship with you, oh Heavenly Father, oh God. Spirit of the living God, will you show me something different in this season of my life? I don't want to wake up tomorrow morning and it's still the same thing. But when I wake up tomorrow morning, I want to be able to experience something that is deeper, something that is fuller, something that is richer. I want to be able to not rely on anybody else, but to rely on your Spirit. And because I rely on your Spirit, God, you direct me and you send me to the actual places that you want me to go. Spirit of God, will you show yourselves to us in a new and meaningful way, oh God, in this season of our lives? And as we're praying this prayer, I really just want us to, for those who are in the room who are not saved yet, this is really just for you. If you know that you are thirsty and that you are hungry and that you are tired and you are tired of doing this life even without the Spirit of God, I just want to encourage you just to say this prayer, and we're all going to say with you, and it is simply this: Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Help me to know you better. As I accepted you today, take over my heart and dwell in me. Forgive me of my old ways and help me to change into the person you want me to be. I love you, Lord, and I proclaim that you are my God. In Jesus' name, if you said that, amen. If you've said that, can you please just keep your head down and eyes closed? And we just want you to kindly raise up your hands as well. If you've said that and meant it with your heart, that you're tired of the ordinary, you know that there is deeper still, can you just please signify and raise up your hands? Or if you're watching online, we have the number that will be sent in the chat about the name that you need to text SAVE to. And we would love to reach out to you and to show you something that is more deeper, something that is more fulfilling in your walk with the Lord moving forward. So if you know that you want to commit yourself to the Lord, can you just raise up your hands and we will surely help you in your next steps. So dear Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for giving us the opportunity just to be here this afternoon and learning who the Spirit of God is, Lord. Help us, Lord, moving forward to trust your Spirit as our helper, as our teacher, as our guide, as the witness that can disciple us and help us to be everything that you have called us to be and then some. For those, oh God, who have made the decisions within their heart, oh God, that they want something deeper, that they don't want the ordinary, they want something new, oh Heavenly Father, oh God. Oh Lord, we understand that because you are a compassionate Father, oh God, there is no way, oh Lord, that the right just cry out, oh Heavenly Father, oh God, and they will not be delivered, oh Heavenly Father, oh God. It is no way, oh God, that those who know your name and put their trust in you, oh God, you will forsake them. So for those, oh God, who are in the room, for those, oh God, who are online that are saying, Lord, I want a deeper revelation with your Spirit. I want something fuller. I want something richer, oh God. Will you not pass them by, oh God? Will you answer their prayer, oh God? And will you meet them, oh God, in a more splendid and excellent way, oh God? We love you, Lord, and we just pray that you continue to be our God. And all this we ask in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into the Gap Church podcast. We hope this message blessed you. If you made that choice to give your life to Christ, congratulations. We celebrate and welcome you to the family. Don't forget to text SAVED to 817-697-2639.